Okay. I've always thought that Onward Christian Soldiers was written in America after or during the war between the states. But actually, in my reading on this day in church history, Onward Christian Soldiers in 1865 in June was written by Sabine Gould, G-O-U-L-D, in Yorkshire, England. Now, I'll tell you why he wrote it. He was a schoolmaster, and he needed to march children from this building across a bridge over to the church. And boy, the kids were going everywhere. So he said, what we're going to do, I'm going to write this song, and we're going to march, singing this song from building A to building B across the bridge. And it worked. So it was very simple, and because he was writing it for children, and very powerful. And so let's stand and sing page 393, Onward Christian Soldiers. Jim Passmore and I will be singing for the all and filling the
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master, he's against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward Christian soldiers, marching at war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host of need, onward Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Like a mighty army,
who's the church of God? Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all on the body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as you are, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Onward
then ye people, join our happy throne, blend with our in the triumph song. Glory, God, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels, angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before.
Okay, let's talk about prayer. And, well, let's see. Okay. Do you know how Dalton's doing?
I don't have an update on
him. Okay. We'll just continue being in prayer for Dalton. And mainly, I pray that it's God's will that he'd heal his body substantially so he can come with us at camp next month.
He's planning on it.
He's planning on it. Good.
So, and he's bringing a friend, a couple of friends, to do the band work.
Wow, very good. So people, please be in prayer for him. That's a soldier of Christ. To be coming out of what he's come through and going to come and put up with a difficult week, a strenuous week at our camp. So please be in prayer for Dalton, his health, travel, help while he's there that week, and then travel back home. Which is home, we don't know. Well, I thought it was funny. Anyway. That's that. Boy, Rodney Dangerfield could not have started with y'all. All right. Now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
I do. I'm going to add my brother Bobby on the
prayer list. Oh, God.
Yeah, he's had some health issues that have been going on for quite some time. And he ended up going to the hospital yesterday because, I was up there all day yesterday. My wife was at work and my dad was there. And he just needs continued prayer. And they found that he was extremely dehydrated, but there's some other issues going on we're trying to get to the bottom of. So he just hasn't been quite himself, and there's just some issues.
Is his heart wrong?
Well, we thought it was his heart. He went to one place, and they told him his left ventricle wasn't pumping, but then he went and saw a cardiologist, and the cardiologist thought it was okay. So that's something they'll be looking at, too, his heart. But there was, all his blood counts were off. There could be a bacterial infection. He's just not himself at all. Hasn't been, but it's getting worse. It was really bad when they took him to the ER.
Good prayer for Bobby. He's a friend of mine, and just got married not long ago, so please be in prayer for Bobby.
And I have another one. Brother-in-law, Tracy Crane, and family, and he's just got some personal issues. God knows what it is.
God knows what they are, Tracy.
All right, we'll be in prayer for Tracy and his family. And yes?
I've got a guy that works for me, just started working for me, and he's got a disease with medication. It will not progress, or at least it'll progress very slowly. He's having a very hard time with the medication from making him feel really ill all the time. So if we would just be in prayer for him, his health, but also me having the opportunity to talk to him about Christ, and we started initiating that conversation. He is a believer, and now I'm kind of wanting to have those conversations around when is he going to start going back to Christ. So
okay. All right, what's your
first name?
Cornelius.
Cornelius, people, this is what I pray. God, you designed our human bodies, and you designed them to respond in an appropriate way to various medicines that doctors have come across. Pray that his body will respond the way that you've designed the human body to respond to these things. The human body is designed to respond to protein and calcium, the various things we eat. It's designed to do that. Our bodies are designed to respond to Bluebell ice cream. And so it's designed that way. Yeah, designed that way. Designed, you can tell. And so please be in prayer for Cornelius that his body will respond to medication, but that his soul will respond to conversation from Chris in regard to his relationship with Christ. So please be in prayer. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes?
Well, two things. One is pray for me, just for clarity, for the fruits of the Spirit, because nowadays it doesn't take me much to get edgy. And I think,
pray for her patience.
Oh, you are a miracle.
You want us to hit God for a miracle. All right. He's in a miracle business.
I was getting through that age of the lady thing, so. The second is, well, you know, it's Brian having to put up with me, so.
His precious chair.
The second one is, there are some of the older content on the other website that we are planning on putting on our current account, one of the three accounts that we already pay for, so we don't have to pay double. So we'll pay for the registration to make sure that we you know, keep it still intact and not ending up with extra burden.
How do you want us to pray for that?
That it can be done efficiently and effectively in God's timing,
okay.
And that also, you know, after we actually reboot it up, from our server instead of the other additional server, then the people who actually used to go there can still find it.
Okay.
Yeah. We want to take care of all the needs if we can.
Well, this is, you know, Wednesday night, not even Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, I'll look, and I have to be reminded there are people out there listening. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
For my friend Sandy, that she has the mindset to accept help. She's starting to show her decline, and she's very stubborn and independent, and she is a believer, because I've asked her, we've talked about it, but it's just, she's hard to take help and to get in. So I'm going to see her, but the idea of going, continually give her the help that she needs.
So it's a humility for her.
Yes. I hate the patient because he gets in trouble all the time.
Right. Yes.
I do have an announcement.
All right, good.
So, is this on? Can I hear? Oh, can I hear? So, I just wanted to say where we are with our fundraising for camp, and God is great all the time. Our goal was $16,000 for the year, and right now, with what we know is coming in, we are about $300 shy of our $16,000 goal. So, it is absolutely amazing what this congregation has done to support financially the youth ministry, and just blows me away and humbles me every time I think about, I mean, that's a lot of money for a very small congregation. And that is the fundraising. I mean, that's not all the other stuff that we take in with the camper fees and all that sort of stuff. That allows our camper fees to stay, I mean, absolutely ridiculously low compared to other churches and other camps. I mean, Pine Cove, so that you all have a relative scale here, Pine Cove, which is a phenomenal camp, their week-long camp is $1,200 a week. Now, they give a lot of scholarships away, but their camp is $1,200. We have a Baptist church in our town which has a camp that they do, and it's almost $600 for a week. We charge these kids $200 a week, and we've said we will never turn a kid away for financial reasons. And we, you know, God willing, and that's what it's all about, then we won't. So I just want to let you all know that's where we are. It's been amazing, and what a blessing.
How much do we charge you right now a week?
$200.
Have all the kids been covered, the ones that we've...
With what we know is coming in, all the kids have been covered.
Yeah, they have.
And that's been that fundraising goal of the 16.
When I talked to Leslie last, I think we've gotten a little bit over, so all the kids are covered.
Okay. Yeah. So, like I say, that's just absolutely amazing, and that's a pretty big number for a very small congregation, and we just want it away. So.
Well, and some take ministry, too. Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the congregation, I'm including those that are sending stuff from far away, so it's appreciated from everywhere that it's coming from. So, and beautiful things from people who have been involved with our church before and maybe aren't today, but they still are supportive of these ministries. So.
How do we do it for dinner?
22 or $2,400
brought in. Oh, so that's profit?
No, that's
the
okay,
so we don't know
the
profit of it yet. Take out
$200 for risky. I'll have to ask them. Cool. Yeah, and others. So this is not, just so everybody knows, that is intake. That is not net profit. That's what we expected to take in all in, and then we have expenses out of that for the fundraising stuff. But that's what, the way I built the budget on that. So. Awesome. So thank you to everybody here.
That's right.
Yes.
Just wanted to pray for Jeff's girls. You're going to announce it.
Any other prayer requests?
What she was getting ready to talk about is Jeff Peterson. Judith has known Jeff for about 17 years, and he died last week. He has two daughters, and they had his service yesterday, and he is a believer, and the service was really, really nice, Judith said. Judith and Karen, her daughter, went with to the service, and just be in prayer for the daughters. It's tough on them. He was not that old of a man, and they're going to have to adjust their lives to get along without him. And also, a new one, yes?
Well, I just want to interject something that a lot of people don't know, that Jeff, the last time we talked to Jeff, my daughter talked to him on Wednesday. Thursday, Noah could get in touch with him. Friday, his daughter was trying to get in touch with him. Saturday, and I'm not sure it's Sunday. We don't really know the timeline. But he was in the unit, and I think he probably passed away Thursday. And this is pretty graphic, but because of the temperature, because of different things, he literally exploded in the unit. And his daughter found him. And we've had hazmat. It's my unit. He's one of my tenants. And we dearly loved him. And he was only 68 years old. And he has two small grandchildren and two young, really young daughters. But just pray for them. They are just in... I can't even wrap my brain around what she found. And that was one of the daughters that is really having a hard time finding him like that. And like I said, we've had hazmat there for 5 days, and we don't know. Everything's having to go out of the unit, maybe even countertops, maybe even appliances, everything. So it's pretty horrific.
Please be prayer for the daughters as they go through the struggle. Also, Terry, if you could put on Kaylin, Caylun McGrady, McGrady. She is a missionary, about 45 years old, a single believer, but has cancer, and needs to kind of know what God is going to do and how he's going to take care of her. So let's be in prayer for Kaylin McGrady at this time. Any other prayer requests? Okay. We are now getting pretty close. This is June the 10th. I beg you, spend at least 60 seconds to 120 seconds every day praying for camp. You pick it. You can pray for all the teachers. You can pray for one of the teachers, Chris, Jody, myself. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will guide us in what he once said to the groups that we'll be teaching. You can pray for the young people. My daily prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, will start moving, convicting. Something be said today by pastor, friend, something about Jesus Christ. Motivate them to want to learn more. Pray for the staff, everyone that works there in the kitchen, and just various the nurse and various staff duties. Be in prayer for Laura Daig, Larry Wise. Be in prayer for the people that are setting these things up. Be in prayer for health or safety. Travel from wherever they're coming from. Jody's coming from Indiana, his grandson from Arkansas, and I suppose other places further. Pray for their safety getting to the camp. Pray for their safety during the week of camp and their safety going home. We don't want some horrible accident marring the joy of this camp. Pray for the weather. You pick it out. There's just so many different ways you can pray. And I just beg you, just 60 seconds to 120 seconds of your life every day. Pray for the camp. It needs that support. Needs that barrage to set up so that God the Holy Spirit can bring these young people the fullness of Christ. So please be in prayer for the young people. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. People, we're an humble assembly, but we still have a cost. So, you want to have a local church, it's going to require finances. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the assembly right here, that we can come together, study the Word of God, worship, sing, pray, fellowship, pray for the outreach, the internet. You'll continue to watch over that. Give us, as Judy said this morning, give us some leeway in moving from one side to the other. Our young people outreach. And Father, how we do pray, you will continue to bless that. Missionary outreach, and with our assembly, helping one another. Being sensitive to one another. Being in prayer for one another. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. The handout, we are to live alive to Christ. Anyone not have it? Everyone have a copy? All right. We have moved into Colossians 3, where we butt into your business. Get into your life. I remember one year I used to go to Tucson, a lady came up, and she said, I don't mind you teaching about the tribulation, the second advent, Israel and all that. But this spiritual love stuff is getting into my life and you can cut it out. So we're now intruding in Colossians 3 and 4 into your life, where you live, how you live. So let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer, pray that God the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to the truthfulness, to the openness of what's going on in Scripture. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. But we need your Holy Spirit so much to understand it. So Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in the first few verses of Colossians 3. That it may, Heavenly Father, penetrate our soul, influence our lives. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Alright, Colossians 3:1. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, ascension and session of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, set your mind, first of all, keep seeking the things above, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You've died to the world. And as far as the world is concerned, your life is hidden. Now, picking up from last week, see that phrase? I love Kip doing this. He's so just accurate and all. I didn't mind. I didn't tell him to put that in. But he said, okay, this is from last week, so I need to let him know what we're doing. So I appreciate it. Picking up from last week, one, just as the darkened world refuses to see the light and life of Jesus Christ, so it is with every believer in Jesus Christ. The world cannot even see or even begin to understand the spiritual life of the believer. Don't expect them to. John 15:18. Since the world hates you, you know, or you should know, that it has hated me before it hated you. This explains why the modern church and political leaders do not understand the foundation of this nation, nor the fundamental biblical principles upon which this nation was built. People are denying even more today. Well, there's no Christian principles of this nation. Trey gave me an article. He loves to upset me. He gives me an article. But anyway, he tells me about this person. This nation was built on Christian principles. People, we're in denial. Total denial. And that's where we are today with all of this stuff. All right? Two. Note the two English prepositions in Colossians 3:3. With Christ, in God. We're in God because we're with Christ. You get it? Point three, Ephesians 3:17-19. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, by means of faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the full, all the fullness of God. Phenomenal phrase. Deserves a lot more than just the reading, but we've got to move on to point four. There are several passages that explain how we're dead in Christ, risen in Christ, dead in Christ, made alive in Christ. We do not live according to our first birth, but we live according to our second birth in Christ, which the world cannot understand. A few verses to give you the idea. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and that includes all of us that are believers, and it is no longer I who live. I've died to Christ, it is no longer I who live. But Christ lives in me. People, please pray that we can convey this to these kids in camp next month. They're not taught this stuff. That Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Now, if you have the NASB, it says in the Son of God. No, the Greek preposition translated everywhere else, of. They don't understand that. How could Jesus Christ have faith? See, we understand it. The humanity of Christ lived by faith in the Holy Spirit. And we're to follow how He lived. Who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We studied this morning in our Doctrine of Spiritual Love. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all died. In our first birth, we were born physically alive, spiritually dead. So also in Christ, all will be made alive, spiritually alive, at the point of faith in Christ. Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this. So having concluded comes before being controlled by His love. You see that? Having concluded comes before the love of Christ controlling you. You have to come to this conclusion. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And I'm controlled by such love as that, is what He's saying. And He died for all. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, by faith in Christ, he is a new creature, a new spiritual creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Point five. What does it mean our lives are hidden? Hidden from whom? Hidden by whom? And why are our lives hidden? Our lives in Christ are hidden from the world because they are concealed by God and not able to be seen by the world because our lives are spiritual and the world is material. It's a condition of the world that they're not able to see. People, we pray for one another, we love one another, because we know that we're all in a spiritual warfare. I have no idea what a lot of you are going through, but I guarantee you, you're in my prayers, because I know you're going through it. Young or old, you're going through it. That's why we pray for one another. The world sees and understands only the material. And even then they come to foolish conclusions, like the evolution. As we will see, don't look nor expect rewards in time. Rewards will be recognized and given after the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ. You are not home yet. Got that? You're not home yet. Don't expect anything here. So don't be disappointed in the world. Don't be disappointed because it just seems like no one notices. Just keep on continuing to set your thinking on things above, performing good works in the power of the Holy Spirit. Abide in hope at the judgment seat of Christ. Just keep on remembering you're not home yet. And this is true even of believers. I wonder how many of you in the last week, don't raise your hand, prayed for Jim Langston this week. The man is under a lot of pain. He is so faithful to us, so faithful to this internet system. Pray for him. Pray for him. Now, point six. One final point. Even though we are dead to the world, and even though our citizenship is in heaven, we still possess the body into which we were physically born. And a lot of us regret that. Some of you are very proud of your body and we're happy for you. Alright. So, the question. How can we keep our mind set on things above? This is why God and Jesus Christ have supplied us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and grace provided, grace provision for the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit who will enable us to keep our mind set on things above. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Being in Christ, we are dead to the world, and our lives are not our own. They belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We now move to Colossians 3:4. Christ, who is our life, is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When? Introduction to when our lives will be revealed from being hidden in Christ. When? See? When is revealed in our passage, is revealed. This is the grace voice, a grace culminative aorist tense. It points to incorporating all that is involved when we, the bride, comes to earth with the groom. You've got to change your thinking now. We as the bride, rapture's occurred, judgment seat has occurred, marriage has occurred, and now we're going to come to earth as the bride of the Lord. Passive voice, grace voice. We receive having our lives come from being hidden to being revealed as the bride of Christ. This manifestation will take place at the second advent of Christ. This manifestation does not occur when the church is raptured from the earth. The rapture is when the groom, Jesus Christ, picks up his bride. The Holy Spirit snatches us, all believers on earth, takes us up to meet the groom in the air. This is the rapture. Then the bride is made ready for the wedding. First at the judgment seat of Christ, dinner preparation in glorious righteous clothing. The wedding will take place in heaven, hidden from the earth. During this time on earth will be the period of the tribulation. But in heaven, there will be tribulation. Then the groom will bring his bride for the marriage supper of the Lamb in Jerusalem, where inside this big banquet hall will be the friends of the groom, and outside will be the friends of the bride, waiting. Then all will go into the banquet hall, and everyone will live happily ever after, because the millennium is followed by eternity. The indicative mood expresses the reality of the presentation of the groom, Jesus Christ, and his bride, church-age believers, that means you. The Greek verb means to be revealed, to make visible on earth. You with him will be revealed in glory. Theologically, this is a wonderful grace reality. It does not matter what kind of life you live, in sin or in the Holy Spirit. You will be part of this grand presentation on earth in Jerusalem. You will be revealed by God together with Jesus Christ, and you together with Jesus Christ will be glorious. I like the way that Giancarlo says it. Now, we will become manifest as the bride to the groom, Jesus Christ. The groom is called Christ, our life, like a married couple. The future tense of being revealed or manifest is an interesting future tense here. It is both a predicted future for an event that is certain, plus a knowing future for a statement of absolute fact. And the passive voice, again, every believer of the church age from the day of Pentecost to the rapture receives being manifested as part of the bride of Christ. Now, note the verse flow of the first four verses of Colossians 3. This is one of the handicaps in doing verse by verse, which takes several weeks. We lose this flow, so I don't want you to lose it. Verses 1 and 2, commands, based on the fact that we are alive with Christ, we should seek the things above and our minds things above, not on earth. Then verse 3, the reality that since we are in Christ, and Christ is hidden to the world out of their own rejection, we are also hidden to the world. But in verse 4, we're going to be revealed with Christ in glory. Okay, we studied things we can anticipate. We studied the rapture. We studied the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's take a look at the glorious manifestation. Open presentation of the groom and his bride. Every one of you will be here for this. So let's take a look. Doctrine of the manifestation, presentation of the bride. Remember, at the second advent, not rapture. Don't get these confused. One, the body of Christ. That will become the bride of Christ is being formed on earth during the church age. Passages supporting that. This time, the church age is the formation of the bride of Christ. We must understand something opposed to Muhammad and Islam. No one in their right mind marries a child. The body of a young girl must mature to a young lady. The body of Christ is made up of everyone who believes in him as Savior throughout all the church age. She's growing, maturing, from the day of Pentecost to the rapture. No exceptions, regardless of what kind of life that believer may have lived on earth. They made the one and only decision that qualifies them for being in this glorious body of the bride of Christ. But there is no marriage until the body comes of age. Point two. When the body of Christ is completed, ready to be the bride of Christ, the rapture takes place. Passages included. 3, 1 Thessalonians 3:13 records the events described in Colossians 3:4. the revealing of Jesus Christ and the revealing of the church as the bride of Christ, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord with all his saints. That's you and I, the bride. This refers to the second advent where Jesus Christ comes with the church, now his bride. Four, the first half of 1 Thessalonians 3:13 describes what is going on in heaven, the preparation of the bride for the marriage in heaven and preparing the bride for the presentation on earth. Five, during the tribulation on earth, the bride is being prepared in heaven. This will involve several stages of preparation. Ladies always take valuable time getting ready for their marriages. Here we have, now, I've never watched it, but I see the bridal gowns and bridal battles and all this kind of stuff. But just growing up, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. What her dress looks like, what her hair looks like, what her shoes look like, on and on and on. I'll give you a hint on how to get married. My wife was barefoot on our wedding day. She came down the aisle barefoot. I couldn't even afford shoes for her. So, she in heaven will be preparing and getting ready. Valuable. The first step is by entering into ultimate sanctification. The body of Christ enters into positional sanctification, that is, position in Christ at the point of faith in Christ. The bride of Christ enters into ultimate sanctification, which includes every believer of the church age receiving a resurrected body, just like Jesus Christ, but maintaining your own countenance, passages included. The second step, the bride is prepared by being cleansed of all human good, described in first part of 1 Corinthians 3:13. There will be no human good in the bride. This is what the white symbolizes. Purity. The bride no longer possesses an inherited sin nature. Remember that. Your wife will not have an inherited sin nature in heaven. Your husband will not have an inherited sin nature in heaven. No one will have one. I don't know how we'll recognize some of us, right? Now, point six. Revelation 19, 6-8 describes the preparation of the bride. Verse 6, then I heard, this is one of the primary ways we learn the gold, silver, and precious stones of the Word of God. We listen, pay attention, and grow. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. For the Lord our God, humanity and deity in one person, the Almighty, all-powerful, over Satan and all his forces, reigns. Better translated, for the Lord our God, all-powerful, has become king. That's a better translation. He has become king. Jesus Christ is crowned king by God the Father and will be king forever. Verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad, overjoyed. What's the difference between rejoice and glad? Glad is overjoyed, overcome with joy. And give glory to the Lord to Him, for and because the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, has come, and His bride, you, the church, body of Christ, has made herself ready. Verse 8 speaks of something that is important to a lady when she marries. Her dress. Verse 8. It was given. How beautiful this is in the grace voice. The passive voice. The bride receives this preparation. To her clothed, and it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. Absence of all human good. This refers to righteousness and ultimate sanctification. For the fine linen, this is linen, the finest linen at the time from Egypt, was the finest linen in the world, is the righteous acts. No acts here. This is justification of the saints. Point seven. the wedding supper. The wedding takes place in heaven while the tribulation was going on. Then the coronation of the groom, crowned king, Revelation 19:6. Now he reveals his bride, who has been hidden during the church age. Describes the Matthew 25 describes the events of the marriage supper. If you want to read about that, you read about the marriage supper, Matthew 25:1-13. Following the analogy of the marriage of the ancient world, the moment the groom picks up the bride, they're married. In the ancient world, they're married. There was no ceremony. I now pronounce you man and wife. The moment he picks her up in his chariot or little cart, he picks her up, they're married. And then the rapt is the rapture. He picks us up. Then the wedding takes place in the private. Then the wedding supper of the Lamb is described in some detail, Revelation 9:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed great happiness to those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, friends of the groom, friends of the bride. The wedding supper takes place on earth. And he said to me, these are true words of God. You can count on his people. You can count on the rapture. You can count on the judgment seat of Christ. You can count on preparation. You can count on coming to earth and being presented by Christ as his bride. Four categories are involved in the wedding supper. The groom, Jesus Christ. The friends of the groom, Old Testament saints. They'll be inside the banquet hall. The bride, church age believers. The friends of the bride, tribulational believers who survive the tribulation, they'll be waiting outside for the marriage supper. Now, I hate to be so base and practical. I want to know who's going to do the cooking. Who's going to do the preparing? But we're not told that, so I guess we'll leave that up to God. Colossians 3:3, for you, all believers of the church age, have died, and your life is hidden on earth with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory, the wedding supper. Having covered our coming to earth with the Lord, Paul now in verse 5 through 17 goes back to our lives here on earth as saints, believers in Christ. The fact that we died with Christ, we are made alive in Christ. We should now set our thinking on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This includes our coming back to earth with Christ, being revealed as the bride of Christ. All these things should have great influence on how we live our lives on earth. Verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Okay, let's quickly go through these. I don't want to spend much time on them. Not a pleasant study. Therefore, this inferential particle is used as a transitional conjunction to relate the challenge of verses 1 through 4 to the manner of life we ought to live while on earth. Who we are in Christ and all that awaits ahead of us ought to have great influence on how we live our lives. When a young lady decides she's going to marry a young man, that should change her whole life. All other guys are gone. She doesn't even see him. Changes his life. But we're dealing with the bride. Changes her life. She now is preparing to be his bride. The Greek says, therefore, put to death. The NASB says, consider the members of your body as dead. The Greek says, therefore, put to death. Aorist active imperative of the Greek verb meaning to put to death, or to render impotent. The word itself refers to persons whose physical capabilities have failed in certain respects. All right, in Gingrich, the basic Greek lexicon a student uses, the verbal form means to put to death, to deaden or deprive of force or vigor. The complete word dictionary, page 107, says, in some medical records, The word is used to describe the effects of a disease on parts of the body. Other references are to the deadening effects of aging. In a figurative sense, this word means to mortify, to retreat as dead, to disregard. The Complete Bible Dictionary, Volume 4, pages stated, this Greek word is used three times in the New Testament. It is used twice in reference to Abraham being sexually dead. I put in the word sexually. It should be physically. Physically dead. Well, sexually, yes, sexually dead. The third is our passage, Colossians 3:5, introducing how we are to live our lives as believers in Christ. So here it is to be understood, mortify or render dead members of our earthly bodies as far as sinful desires of the flesh are concerned. The aorist tense is an impressive aorist which looks at a process from the start but should continue throughout our lives. The active voice means that you have to make this decision yourself. The imperative mood tells us this is God's desire for us. We can't do it outside of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is stated here, what is not stated here is how. How are we as believers render dead the sinful desires of our fleshly nature? Be filled with the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit by faith in the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So we render dead the sinful desires of our inherited sin nature by faith in the Holy Spirit. Back to Colossians 3:5. Therefore, render dead is part of what happens when we died with Christ, what should have happened. Colossians 2:20. We are dead to the world, dead to Satan, dead to sinful desires of our inherited sin nature. Therefore, render dead your members. Okay, we're going to learn something about human anatomy. You will note members is in the plural. In the singular, it refers to a specific part of the body. Here it refers to various facets of the body. Most people will relate this to sexual parts of the body. But theologically and accurately, this does not refer to the mind or soul, but to the inherited sin nature that flows through our body. It refers to the essence of the inherited sin nature. This is further dealt with in Romans 6:6. Knowing this, here is the secret of living a life pleasing to God. Knowing this, that our old self, that's our inherited sin nature, was crucified with Him, died with Christ, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, you can resurrect the inherited sin nature, and we often do. It's dead, but you can resurrect it anytime you want to go into sin. So, our inherited sin nature was done away with when we died with Christ. We died to our inherited sin nature. Don't resurrect the dead. Colossians 2:11. And in Him you were also circumcised, cut off, with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh, that's your inherited sin nature. By the circumcision, the cutting away, the inherited sin nature has died with Christ and has been circumcised by Christ. Back to Colossians 3:5. Therefore, render dead members of your body. The reference to earthly goes back to Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. As dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Therefore, render dead your members of your earthly body. Now, Paul mentions one of the trends of the inherited sin nature, asceticism, in Colossians 2:20-23. Here, he refers to the need, the trend of lasciviousness. Let's go through them quickly. Immorality. Now, let me just talk to you. Don't sit there and think, oh, that's foul. I know who does that. I know somebody like that. As we go through these, we're all guilty in our minds. So just don't go pointing fingers. See? Just remember, I like the old saying, you point your finger this way, three of them are pointing back at you. Just remember that. Okay. Immorality refers to illicit sexual activity of any kind. Illicit sex between a man and a woman who are not married to each other. This includes immorality as part of pagan religion. Our society has fallen to where sex between a man and a woman who are not married is acceptable. But to God, it's still sin. This word includes all forms of sexual immorality: homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, adultery. Impurity. This Greek word is somewhat all-inclusive of indecency, impurity, including filthiness, lewdness, incontinence, which I understand was one of Hitler's problems, susceptible to that. This includes any unnatural pollution, whether out of oneself, as in Galatians 5:19, or with another, Romans 1:24. It should be noted here that Jesus Christ included the thoughts of man in this category. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. What comes out of his mouth, this is what makes him unclean. All right, the next word, passion, or depraved passion. This specifically refers to the lust of desire. It refers to depraved passion, uncontrollable passion, abnormal sex lust. This is the lust, but not the overt act alone itself. So we will understand it as depraved passion or depraved lust for things as well as sex. Evil desire or evil lust or even evil thoughts. All of those are bona fide translations of the Greek. We have to come to grips with the word evil as it's used here. To me, the most evil thing on earth is a person who perverts or distorts the gospel of Christ and therefore causing one not to have eternal life. But this is not the way the word is used here. Here, it refers to that which is bad or wrong according to God's planned desire of something. The word is often translated to be sick, to be unhealthy. That's not the way God planned for us to be. Planned for us to be healthy. See? Then it says, and greed. Okay. Oh, how I'd love to say. Anybody innocent here throughout your whole life? Don't do that, though. I don't want to do that. Some of you may want to raise your hand. So we won't do that. Greed. The basic conclusion in this word is insatiableness, which includes an insatiable desire for sexual satisfaction, insatiable desire for things like money, material things related to the earth. A lust to have more than one needs, which certainly characterizes a multitude of Americans, including pastors who need two or three jets, or simply desiring to have more than anyone else. This includes lust of the eyes. I see, I want. Or I want what I see. Or I just got to have it. Now the phrase, which amounts to idolatry, or more correctly, is idolatry in the Greek. This is not the ordinary relative pronoun. This is a relative pronoun. It is used, qualitative relative pronoun. It is used to refer to nouns mentioned previously, whether they are people, places, or things, animals, or practices as we have it here. It is used after a list of five nouns here in our text, which are all related to a powerful inherited sin nature, which we all possess. No matter what you may think of the five nouns, the source is the same in each of us, our inherited sin nature. And for this reason, it must be rendered impotent or dead in our lives. Again, this is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit when He is alive to rule the soul of a believer. Kip, go ahead and get ready. Go ahead and get ready. Now, one, every believer continues to possess an inherited sin nature after salvation. 2. The inheritance in nature can be rendered impotent or dead when the believer is under the power of the Holy Spirit. This is by faith in the Holy Spirit. 3. The inheritance in nature frustrates bona fide production of the Christian life, which is considered good before God. But remember, the inheritance in nature also produces human good, which is considered bad by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. 4. The inheritance in nature has different nomenclature in the Word of God. Flesh, the old self, the old man, carnal, sin in the singular, heart, as in one passage, remembers, as in the study, Colossians 3:5. 5. The inheritance in nature, which we all possess, has essence as revealed in Colossians. Area of strength, Colossians 2:20-23. Area of weakness, presented in our study in Colossians 3:5. 6. The believer's solution to the power of the inheritance in nature is the power of the Holy Spirit who is inside of us. 7. The inheritance in nature is not found in the resurrected body of the believer. So as far as heaven is concerned, there is no inheritance in nature. We do not inherit the sin nature in our resurrected bodies. Instead, we inherit the purity of Christ. Now, I'm going to play something. A few of you were all, no, I know that. And for you, I apologize. Don't worry about the old hymn singing. Think about the words. That's what this is powerful in. I like the music. But if you don't like the music, that's fine. Just pay attention to the words. Okay.
You're not home. You're not home. You're not home yet. I can still hear my Lord's voice ringing. There is a crowd to greet you.
If you've got 2 or 3 minutes, I'd like to tell you a story. It's a story about a preacher. But this story I want to tell you is about a particular preacher who went overseas to fight a war. Now this was a war for God and not for any country. And he fought a long, long time and he won a lot of souls. But finally this preacher got old and he was coming home. He just happened to be on the same ship with someone who we call a famous celebrity. When the boat docked, there were thousands there to meet the celebrity. And they carried him off on their shoulders. But you know, there wasn't no one there to meet the preacher. And he looked into the heavens and said, God, did you forget? And it seemed like the heavens broke open. And he said, no, son, I didn't forget. But you must remember, you're not home yet. I didn't forget, but son, you're not home yet.
Not only does your word tell us what you desire in our lives, but Heavenly Father, your word presents the rewards, the joy, the glory that waits ahead of us. So, Father, even though each day is a battle to walk by faith, a battle to love one another, a battle to keep our minds set on things above, we are so encouraged by the future. For Heavenly Father, to us, the rapture is a reality. The judgment seat of Christ is a reality. The marriage is a reality. Our being presented on earth is an already accomplished fact. Therefore, we find joy, hope, and encouragement to live our life today based on what's coming up in the future. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Colossians. We thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. Pray that your Spirit can use the things we studied to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.